And Luther was not a man who took criticism very easily, especially from people whom he felt that they owed him a debt of gratitude. And therefore he turned a vicious attack against his Protestant enemies. Terrible things. I mean, when he lost himself, the things that he wrote, you don't find such vituperative language anywhere. And in the blindness of his fury, he turned it on the Jews as well. And he wrote things about the Jews. Some of Streicher's articles in the Stürmer, in the Nazi anti-Semitic newspaper and magazine of the 30s and 40s, were verbatim quotations of Luther. Just terrible things. There's an interesting article on Luther in the National Geographic, and it's about a year ago. They commemorated the 450th anniversary, I think, of his birth or his death or something, and they had a long article about it, and naturally there are beautiful pictures of that area in Germany and everything else. And there they quote some of the things that he says as examples of his vituperative nature, of his terrible negative nature. But what this served to do was to transfer a great deal of the anti-Semitism of the Roman Catholic Church, to transfer it into the Protestant Church. Because originally the Protestant Church attempted, at least, to say that it would do away with the bigotry of the Roman Catholic Church. And it would do away with, in one of his writings, Luther frees the Jews of their responsibility for deicide, which in the 1500s is an enormous act. The Vatican Council II in 1963 barely came about to do it. And he did it 400 years earlier. But by the end of his life, he had reverted into terrible anti-Semitism. And he expressed it and verbalized it and wrote about it and stirred up the people. So that, in effect, in the 30 Years' War, in the war between the Protestants and the Catholics, whoever won, the Jews lost. It made it far worse for the Jews, because it was now a situation of chaos, of anarchy, of armed bands marching around Europe, and the Jews had no defender. I think it's worthwhile to note that by the end of the 30 Years' War, the Jews much preferred to be in the Roman Catholic section, because the Church more or less protected them for whatever reasons it had, whereas in the Protestant sections, the Jews were left to the wrath of the mobs. And Jewish life in Germany, Jewish life in the Netherlands, Jewish life in France suffered terribly in the Protestant Revolution. The physical ravages of the destruction were of enormous consequences. The Jews would rebuild themselves again in the 1600s, but they never were able to put Western European Jewry on the map again as being an important leader of world Jewry. That's why the entire picture shifts to Eastern Europe, to Poland, to Lithuania, to Russia, because that was not affected. There was no Protestant movement there. There was Russian Orthodox. Poland remained Roman Catholic. Lithuania remained Roman Catholic. And there was no such thing as Protestant revolution there. It just didn't reach. It was an iron curtain of ignorance. It was different language, different culture. It was a different world. And just as later we will see that the age of emancipation and of reform did not reach Eastern Europe, and to a certain extent the Industrial Revolution did not reach Eastern Europe. And to a certain extent, even in our time, the technological revolution has not reached Eastern Europe. There has always been a real line of division between Western Europe and Eastern Europe.